From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas may meet later this month. That announcement followed Israel's release of the last of 900 prisoners as part of a February ceasefire agreement. Both men want to work out security issues in the Gaza Strip after Israel pulls out of the area. Recent polls show that citizens on both sides are eager for their leaders to return to the negotiating table.
For more on the hopes and fears of Israelis and Palestinians, we're joined by Khalil Shakaki, director of the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research in Ramallah, and Asher Arian, a senior fellow at the Israeli Democracy Institute in Jerusalem. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Shakaki, let me start out with you. There seems to be guarded optimism over the course of the last few months. Do you believe that that is fair?
It is fair to say that there is more optimism today than a year ago, but it is also fair to say that optimism 6 months ago was much higher than it is today, and that optimism is evaporating fairly quickly. People's expectations have not been met. There has been a lot of expectations early this year after the passing of Yasser Arafat and the election of Mahmoud Abbas, and most of these expectations have not yet been met. And people are asking questions as to whether, in fact, the passing of Arafat had made a difference.
Mr. Arian, let me ask you, do you believe that the passing of Yasser Arafat made a difference?
Of course it made a difference. It changed the mood in the country, and evidently it changed the mood on the ground. But I think rather than the peace accord that you're talking about, what Israeli public opinion is focused on is the unilateral withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. They see that, public opinion sees that as a Israeli sacrifice, as a move which it is hoped will be reciprocated from the Palestinian side.
Let me ask you, Mr. Shakaki, as it relates to most on the ground there in Palestine, do they see that as a giving, if you will, from the Israeli side?
Most Palestinians expect to see the Israelis end what Palestinians perceive as massive restrictions on movement that has led to a dramatic stagnation in the economy. The Israelis have somewhat moderated their policy with regard to the closure regime that Israel has imposed in the West Bank and Gaza. But Palestinians expected that with the ceasefire in place, something that started about 4 months ago, that Israel would lift the existing closure regime and that there will be a greater freedom of movement, and they do not see that happening. And they believe, therefore, that Israel is really not concerned about the ceasefire as such, but that Israel is not interested in going back to the negotiating table because Sharon does not want at this point to negotiate the implementation of the first phase of the roadmap, which requires Israel, for example, to cease settlement activities, to remove outposts, and to return to the lines of September 2000. Palestinians believe Sharon, as Asher said, wants to focus on the disengagement from Gaza and wants to leave everything else until later. The problem is Palestinians want those things that the first phase of the roadmap indicated that Israel should do. They want them now, and they were hoping that with the election of Abbas and the institution of the ceasefire, that Israel would be forthcoming in terms of meeting those expectations. If Israel continues to focus instead on disengagement, Palestinians have elections to go to very soon, and the mood at the moment is not very positive for the governing faction, which is the nationalist faction. And the Islamists are competing against the nationalists and hoping that with the stagnation in the peace process continuing, that they, that is the Islamists, will do very well in those elections.
Before we get to the elections and the two people captaining the ships, if you will, Mr. Arian, let me ask you this as relates to the ebb and flow of what has been going on in this region for years and years and years now. How much more can we see optimism dashed before those who have cooler minds give up the belief that peace can, in fact, occur in this region?
Well, we've been on quite a roller coaster these last few years. I think it's best to remember to characterize Israeli public opinion in a 30-40-30 split. We have a very strong nationalist right wing, and we have a sizable left wing, but we have 40% or so in the middle that is ready to swing in either direction. And that, of course, is the crucial middle of any democratic system. This middle, 4 or 5 years ago, was willing to go with a conciliatory policy. And then with the beginning of this last intifada in the last 4 years, those hopes were dashed. And the left has shrunk considerably. Pessimism has grown. Disbelief in the process has been on the upswing. What we've had in the last 4 months are the first signs of a rejuvenated moderate position that has to be encouraged if it is to grow. At the moment, that group is still very wary, is very concerned about claims by the Israeli government that Palestinian authorities are not doing enough to disarm terrorists, to cease the incitement against Jews and against Israel. And so there's not a lot of public pressure for the government to move more quickly than it has.
Mr. Shikaki, it seems to outsiders, many of whom I've talked to about this, that the zealots on both ends, quite frankly, will never give up their position. And it really doesn't matter whether Sharon and Abbas go to the table and try to negotiate this, that the zeal felt on both ends will not allow, as Mr. Arion suggested, the idea of both ends meeting the middle. How realistic is that?
Well, there is no doubt that those who have solid ideological views about the peace process and the recognition of the other side will not change their mind. However, what is also clear is that these people need public support for them to flourish. And if the public is set against policies that they have adopted in the past, such as violence, suicide attacks, and the like, then these groups will not be able to use these methods to destroy the peace process. The problem is the public hasn't yet reached a point where it sees no utility for violence. I'm talking about the Palestinian public. The public still believes that violence has been helpful to the Palestinians in achieving their objectives. So there is demand, or there was demand, for violence during the last 4 or 5 years. And some of the militant groups have been able to deliver on what the public wanted. Today, there is a ceasefire in place, but if the public does not see success coming out of diplomacy, we will see more and more people returning to the belief that it's important to go back to violence, that only violence has been effective. So the key thing here is to for you to be able to reduce the power of the extremists is to convince the public that diplomacy is effective and that violence does not pay. But so far, neither side has been able successfully to do that.
Mr. Arion, let me ask you about Mahmoud Abbas and your belief in his ability to come to the table unfettered by those who would not want him to be as conciliatory as will need be to make peace. How optimistic are you about his abilities?
Well, I hesitate to speak about Abu Abbas when Khalil is on the line.
I understand, and I did that intentionally, quite frankly, and I will ask him about Mr. Sharon.
He's the expert. I think that observers feel that if there is a leader or is a force in the Palestinian community that can lead to renewed negotiations, it is Abu Abbas. And I think in a relative sense, the Israeli government is more forthcoming with him than it has been over a number of years. Whether that pace is sufficient for the Palestinian leadership or for the Israeli left is a different question. I think there is a sense that it is possible if the leaders assert themselves if the moderates reassert themselves, it is possible, maybe not to get to a situation of peace, but of prolonged coexistence and mutual flourishing. The actor that we did not mention, that we must mention, is the United States government, that its impact on the internal policies and on public opinion in both Palestine and in Israel is enormous.
Khalil Shikaki, let me ask you, with about a minute to go, your thoughts in the same way about Ariel Sharon.
I think Sharon has certainly been able to show leadership and take very tough decisions. There is no doubt that the disengagement plan indicate that Sharon can change, and that he that change at that level could have dramatic consequences for Palestinians and Israelis. However, I believe that at the more strategic level of permanent status agreement reaching an end to the conflict with the Palestinians, mm-hmm. Sharon will not be able to do so. He has not shown enough indications so far that he would be able to meet with Abbas and deal with the most difficult issues like Jerusalem, refugees, and permanent borders. So for the time being, I think Sharon represents the best that Israel can show in terms of determination to evacuate settlements and pull out from Gaza. But beyond that, I doubt very much that Sharon will be the man who will be able to bring peace to Israelis and Palestinians.
All right. Khalil Shikaki, director of the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research in Ramallah, and Asher Aryan, a senior fellow at the Israeli Democratic Institute in Jerusalem. I thank you both.
Thank you.